Good morning and good night, everybody. Today's daf is B'Metzia daf Nun Ches. We left off on daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots at the very end of the page, two lines from the end of the page. Shomer Chinam Eino Nishma. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer and his wife and children, Ali Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is the following. We had mentioned a number of items that are not subject to Ona'a, and a number of items those items included in the Mishnah. We had said Avadim, Shtaros, Karkaos, Hekdeshos, and then we had mentioned that all of those items, not only are they not subject to Ona'a, they're for other dinim that do not relate to those items, and included in those dinim are that a Shomer Chinam does not have to swear about those items, a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay for those items. So first the Gemara is going to ask a stira whether in fact that's true, that a Shomer Chinam does not have to swear about Hekdeshos, because we're going to have, our Mishnah says that he does not, but we're going to have a stira where elsewhere it indicates that a Shomer Chinam does have to swear about Hekdeshos. And the Gemara is going to have three ways of resolving that stira. Then the Gemara is going to ask a stira, is it in fact true that a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay for Gneva Aveda on Hekdeshos? Because it seems from elsewhere that a Shomer Sachar does have to pay for Gneva Aveda of Hekdeshos. And then the Gemara is going to have two ways of resolving that stira. Then the Gemara is going to try to make sense of a Braisa that seems to be Mechayev Karban Shvua only on Kachim and not on items that aren't Kachim. Adrabah, I would have thought that a Chiyuv Karban Shvua should be the other way, only on items that are not Kachim, not items that in fact are Kachim. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to go through what exactly are the rules of Ona'a for things that people are typically willing to overpay for. We had a Shita in the Mishnah that when it comes to a precious gem or a Sefer Torah, things of that nature, that you don't have Dinam of Ona'a, does that mean no Dinam of Ona'a, or just that the Dinam of Ona'a are different? And are there other things in that category also? Or is it just the items that we had already mentioned that people are willing to overpay for? Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to shift the discussion from Ona'as Mamon to Ona'as Devarim, that there's another pasuk, another Isser in the Torah, that one is not allowed to cause pain with their words. Even Ona'as Devarim is Asr. The Gemara is going to tell us that in a certain sense, Ona'as Devarim is worse than Ona'as Mamon. Not a certain sense, in three ways, Ona'as Devarim is worse than Ona'as Mamon. And the Gemara is going to also, at the end of the daf, talk a little bit about Malbin Pnei Chavero Berabim, and how terrible that is, how terrible an Aveira it is for one to embarrass somebody else publicly. So let's begin two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Zayinun Beis. Shomer Chinam and Nishma. So we said that Shomer Chinam does not have to take a Shavua for Hekdeshos. Ureminu, but I'll ask you a stira, because there's a Mishnah in the second parak of Masechta Shkalim that tells us as follows. B'nei Ha'ir Sheshalchu Shekleyen. If people sent their shekel with a shliach to the Beis HaMikdash, the background over here is that that there's a mitzvah seh min HaTorah that every person has to give a machsa shekel each year to the Beis HaMikdash when there was a Beis HaMikdash. And it's noeg that din a machsa shekel bizman she Beis HaMikdash hayikayom is noeg even in Chutz La'aretz, because they would and the way it would work is that on Rosh Chodesh Adar they'd be mashmiya al hashkalim. That's why we read Parsha Shkalim right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, because Rosh Chodesh Adar they'd be mashmiya al hashkalim. On Chamish Asar Ba'adar they would the shulchanim would sit bekol medina to receive the money. The money changers would stay, where they'd set them up in different places to receive the money. On the 25th day of Adar, they would start taking mashkonos from anyone who didn't pay, because it was a tax that one had to pay. And then they would bring the shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash there were these two triangular shaped boxes where they were wide at the bottom and narrow at the top, or cylinder shaped, whatever it was, but wide at the bottom, narrow at the top, in order that no one should be able to take the money for themselves from the box, so they couldn't stick their hands in. So since it was shaped a little bit like a shofar, they would refer to these boxes as shofaros, even though they weren't actually a shofar, it was just a box. So on one of the boxes it said tiklin chadatin, meaning the new shkalim, and on the other box it said tiklin atikin, meaning the old shkalim. And they would put the shkalim from the previous year in the tiklin atikin box. So every medina, they would collect the shkalim from the people of that medina, and they would send shluchim. You wouldn't have individuals, every individual come with their machsa shekel. It's not a new aliyah l'regel that had to be done even from chutzlar. No, they would send shluchim from that medina. They'd have a representative to go and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and there they would gather the shkalim in the lishcha, and they would fill three large kupos in the lishcha, and whatever was left that didn't fit into the kupos, they would leave in the lishcha, and that was called the shiyarei halishcha, and that's what they would use to build, to pay for the walls of the city and the watchtowers of the city. And three times a year they would be toreim the lishcha, 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkot. And the seder of the way they would do the truma was they would take one of the three boxes, they would fill up three smaller boxes with it, and they would use that money for the korbanos tzibur until that money ran out. If the money ran out before the time for the next trumas halishcha, they would take additional money from the shiarei halishcha to fill in whatever was missing that they ran out. And time of the truma, they would be toreim even on the shkalim that were lost or that were stolen along the way or that haven't yet made it. So they would already they would say we know that not things happen. We know that not everybody managed to get their machsa shekel here in time. So when we're being toreim the lishcha in order to pay for the korbanos tzibur, the tzibur includes everybody who participated, even if it didn't happen. We do a similar thing by Mechiras Chametz. We tell the Nachri, look, there are a lot of sheets flying around of people, you know, that made the rabbi a shliach, and they emailed it in because they couldn't make it in person and this and that, and the rabbi forgot to print it or something got lost or he left it on a shtender in shul or something like that. So we're including everybody, even the people whose inventory sheets we don't have. So they would do a similar thing by the Beis HaMikdash. They would say that this Trumas HaLishcha is for everybody, even as long as they participated in the process, even if their sheker, their shekel never quite made it, or they haven't yet. We don't do that with Mechiras Chametz, but they haven't yet given their shekel. But they're planning on. They just haven't gotten around to it yet. So they're all included in the Korbanos Tzibur. They would do that with each Trumas HaLishcha. So now the case that the Mishnah talks about is that they sent a shliach to the Beis HaMikdash, right, with the shekel, the nignavu osha avdu, and then the shkalim got stolen or lost from the shliach. So im mishnitra mahatruma, if after the truma was already taken from the lishcha, the bnei ir came with their shluchim to a din Torah, meaning they only found out about the geneva of the aveda after the Trumas HaShkalim in the Beis HaMikdash, after the Shkalim were already taken from the Korbanos Tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, that's when they discovered, that our shekel was lost along the way or was stolen along the way. Then Nishbaten LaGizbarim, the Shluchim have to take a Shvua to the Gizbarim of Hegdish that they were not Posheya in watching over this money, because since the Truma happened before the Bnei Ha'ir were aware of the Geneva, they in fact were Yotzei their Mitzvah, and they are included in that truma, and therefore they're not going to have to reimburse, they're not going to have to pay other shkalim in their place. So who's the one that's really losing out because of this Geneva Aveda? It's Hegdish that's losing out, because the original Bailam who sent their shkalim is not going to have to replace that shkalim. So since Hegdish is the one that's losing out, the Shavua that the Shluchim have to take, that they were not Poshea, is to the Gizbarim, it's to the representatives of Hegdish. But Vimlav, but if the Truma had not yet been taken until after they found out about this Geneva, so the Bailam knew that it was stolen before the Truma Salishcha, before anything was collected to pay for the Korbanos HaTzibur, then Nishbat in the Bnei Ha'ir, then the Shluchim are going to have to swear to the Bnei Ha'ir, because they're the ones that are on the hook. The Bnei Ha'ir are the ones that are going to have to replace that money. Ubnei Ha'ir shoknachem taktein, and then the Bnei Ha'ir taka do have to replace the money. They have to send a new shekel. So because they're the ones that lose out, and therefore the shvur goes to them. Nimtzu oshechzira maganavim. If you then later find the money, or the ganavim who stole the money return that money, they realize, hey, what did we do? We stole money that was meant to go pay for the Korbanos HaTzibur and for the Chomas Ha'ir, and the watchtowers of the year. We didn't want to do that, so they decided that they're going to return the money. Or Stam, they did tshuva and they returned the money. Elu ve'elu shkalim heim. Both the initial money and the replacement money have a din of shkalim for the tahagdish, because there is a kedusha that's chal on them, and you can't undo that kedusha. And you can't just say, okay, so I'm covered for next year, because I gave two shkalim this year, so I'm covered for next year. No, it doesn't work that way. It's the first money and the second money, they all have kedusha, but you're still going to have to pay separately the following year. In the Yerushalmi, there's a discussion. The Yerushalmi says that the shkalim harishonim go into the tiklin chaditin, and the shkalim hashniim go into the tiklin atikin. But there's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, which ones are considered the shkalim harishonim, and which ones are considered the shkalim hashniim. Is it the first ones or the first ones to actually make it there that are considered the... Okay, so that's a discussion in the Yerushalmi. So, but bottom line is, you see from this Mishnah that the shluchim have to take a shavua to Hegdish or to the Bailim, even though these shkalim were given to them, belong to Hegdish. And it's a shmira on the davar shel Hegdish. So that's a stira to what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said that a shomer chinam does not swear on mamon shel Hegdish, that a Shomer Chinam will never have to swear on Hekdeshels. It's one of the four things that there is no Shavua for. So that's a stira to our Mishnah. The Rashba points out that since the Gemara does not just simply answer that the Shluchim have to swear that the money is not still in the Rishos, so you see that the din that Einish Ba'am Alavadim Shtoros Karkos and Hekdeshels is not only that they don't have to take a Shavua that they were not Poshaya, they don't even have to take a Shavua that they're not still holding on to it. Right, that's the Rambam writes as well in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan Perikei Alachavav, because the Gemara could have just had a very simple answer. When we say that he doesn't, that a Shomer Chinam doesn't have to swear on Hekdeshos, it means he doesn't have to swear that he wasn't Poshaya, but at least he has to swear that it's not in his pocket, that he's not still holding on to it. So from the fact that the Gemara doesn't answer that's the nature of the Shavua, it must be that he doesn't even have to swear that he's not holding on to it. The Ravid says, Tema Gadol Who's that? He says, what are you talking about? Maybe it's still in his rishus and he's being kofar about something that's still in his pocket. Vimpatru, mishvah satora, mishvah pshia, mishvah shena rishusa lo patru. The rabbi says, what is that? They granted, we patter him from the Shavuos HaTorah that he wasn't Poshaya, but we're not going to patter him from a Shavuah that he's not still holding on to it. Of course he still has to take that Shavuah. And that's how the Shach Paskins in Choshen Mishpat. Why then doesn't the Gemara just answer that that's what we're talking about, that we're talking about the Shavuah that it's not still in his Rishus? Because the Mishnah had said that the case was V'nignavu Osha Avdu. The implication is we know that it was Nignav or Ne'avad. Not that we're guessing or that he's claiming that it was Nignav or Ne'avad. It's something that's Yadua Lakal. So if everybody knows that it was Nignav or Ne'avad, we all know it's not in his pocket, then he's not going to have to take a Shavua that it's not in his pocket. But if he's just claiming that it was Nignav or Ne'avad, then says the Ravid and says the Shach, in a Chinami, he would have to take such a Shavua. Anyway, the Gemara's question is that it's a Stira. In our Mishnah, we said that you never have to, that a Shomer Chinam is never going to have to take a Shavua that he was not Poshaya when he was guarding something that belongs to Hegdish. And yet in the Mishnah Masech Shkalim, it says that the Shliach to bring the Hegdish Shkalim does have to take a Shavua. So the Gemara's going to have three answers. Answer number one, Amr Shmuel, Hachamen Osisach Raskinan. Who said we're talking about a Shomer Chinam? Maybe the guy that sent us the Shliach with the Shkalim is being paid for his job. And he has to take a Shavua to get paid. Meaning, the Shluchim are going to have to swear that they were not Poshaya in the Shmira of this money, because Shluchim do not have to swear that they were not Poshaya in the Shmira of the money, because the Mamon Hegdish is not subject to that Shavua. But the Shluchim are not just trying to say, I shouldn't have to pay. They're being Toveya, their wages. I mean, you hired me to do a job. I did my best, and I would like for you to pay me for the job that I did, even though it didn't it didn't work out quite the way you wanted it to. So then they at least have to take a Shavua that they don't still have it in order that they could receive their wages. If that's the case, that they're taking a shvua in order to get their wages, why does it say neshvah and gezbarim? Well, then, under what circumstances would you ever take that shvua to the gezbarim? Meaning, if the shvua is about the money itself, so then I understand. If Hentish is the one that loses out on the money itself, so you're going to have to take the shvua to the gezbarim. But if the shvua has nothing to do with the money itself, right? The shvua is about the wages that you are supposed to be paid for schlepping. Well, that's always the balabayas, right? The balabayas is always the one that pays that. The hentish never pays you for that. So how could it ever be that you would pay that you would take the shvua to the gezbarim? So answer Gemara, Amar Rabba, no, it doesn't mean that they take a shvua to the gezbarim. You're right. They're taking the shvua about their wages to schlep this money. And I know it said nishvan the gezbarim. Didn't mean that. It meant nishvan the bnei ir. That they take the shvua to the Bnei Yair in order to get paid while the Gizbarim are standing there, because the Hekdish is going to lose out from this Kaneva, so that the Gizbarim should not be choshed, the Bnei Yair, that they didn't that they weren't mafresh the shekel, or that they shouldn't be called poshim for being negligent in their shmira. So the Gemara asks, but how could it be that the Bnei Yair are going to have to pay the shluchim their schar? It says in the Mishnah that the money was lost or stolen. So if now you're telling me that the case is that these guys were being paid to bring this money, and now you're saying, and if it's lost or stolen, they're going to still get paid for the job that they did? Isn't the halacha shomer sachar b'gnei v'aved chiyuvei mechayev? Not only does the shomer sachar not get paid for doing their job on a Gnei Vaveda, they have to pay for the loss of the item on a Gnei Vaveda. Now granted, over here, even by the Shmiras Mammon of Hegdish, even though they're not going to have to pay for a Gnei or Aveda, because we said Hegdish doesn't have that din, that a Shomer Sachar pays for Gnei Vaveda, but at least let them lose their wages for bringing this money here, because they're supposed to watch the money and protect it from Gnei Vaveda, and that's why they're getting paid for this, to protect from Gnei Vaveda. So if they didn't do their job, they shouldn't get paid, right? They shouldn't be able to receive any wages if they didn't do their job. The Meiri points out that you see from here that a Shomer Sachar who makes a Tanai with the Mafkid that he's going to be potter from Gnei Vaveda, like a Shomer Chinam, even though the Tanai works to potter him from having to pay for Gnei Vaveda, but if a Gnei Vaveda happens, he's not going to get paid, because that's exactly what's happening over here. By Hegdish, it's true. There's this funny rule that you don't have, that a Shomer Sachar doesn't have to pay for Gneva Vaveda on Hegdish. But you see, the Gemara is assuming that even though he doesn't have to pay for Gneva Vaveda, he doesn't have to reimburse the Bailim for the lost or stolen item, but he's not going to get paid, right? So you can make such a Tanai that I should be, that even though I'm a Shomer Sachar, I should be Patra Gneva Vaveda. Yeah, but if it's a Gneva Vaveda that happens, don't expect to get paid for the work that you did. That's clearly the Gemara's assumption. So anyway, the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, a regular Gneva Vaveda in a Chinami, the Shlichim would lose any claim to their wages. But the case over here is not a regular Gnei Vaveda. It's a Gnei Vaveda that's really an ones. Nigvu blisin mezuyan. They were stolen by armed bandits, or avdu shatavus minos b'yam. The Aveda is not just stam, it fell out of their pocket. It's that their boat sank in the sea. So that's an ones. And the Shomer Sachar certainly does get paid if an ones happens to the item. So that's all answer number one. So again, the Gemara asks the steer. Does in fact show, why in our Mishnah does it say that a Shomer Chinam does not have to take a Shavua on Hekdeshos, if in the Mishnah in Shkalim it sounds like he does take a Shavua on Hekdeshos? And the Gemara's answer was that no, it was talking about a Shomer Sachar in the case in Shkalim, not a Shomer Chinam, and it was all about getting his wages, it was not about the item itself. Answer number two, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hamani Rabbi Shimon hi. Maybe the Mishnah in Shkalim is a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Damar Kachem Shchayev Vachrisum Yeshlanana Vinishbana then. Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that Kachem that the Bailam is Chayev Vachrisum, that was Kachem that he said Hare Alai and not Hare Zu, where he's going to be personally on the hook to replace that Kachem. So there is a Din of Ona'a if you misprice such Kachem. And shomrim, more importantly for us, not about the din of hanah, but that nishbayin aleim, shomrim do have to take a shavua on such kachim, because it's considered to be mamun bailin. So maybe the same is true by these shkalim, that since the bnei ha'ir are on the hook to have to replace these shkalim, it's considered mamun bailin, and therefore the shlichim have to take a shavua that they were not posheya. So in achinami, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah assumes that you never have to be nishba on kachim. And this Mishnah in Shkalim is against the Tanakam in our Mishnah. But there is another Tana. Rabbi Shimon says, not all kachim. You're not always off the hook from taking a shavua on kachim. If it's kachim that the Bailin is chayiv v'achriyusam, then yes, then even a shomer chinam does have to take a shavua. And that's what this Mishnah in Shkalim is assuming. So says Gemara, hateina chachal nitma truma. This answer works very good in the case that the Mishnah in Shkalim spoke about, where the Bailin finds out about the geneva before nitruma hatruma, before the truma salishka was taken. So in that case, they're actually chayiv b'achriyusam, because they're going to have to pay again. They're going to have to give the shekel again. But mishnitra truma kachem sheinu chayiv b'achriyusam ninu. But the Mishnah Shkalim said that if they only found out about the gnev v'aveda after the truma was taken, then they're not going to have to. Then the hekdesh is going to lose out. The bailim is not chayiv b'achriyusam. The bailim is not going to have to pay. Is not going to have to pay for it. And the Gemara brings a raya that if they find out about the gnev after nitruma truma, then they're not going to have to do a second shekel. D'tanya. Because the Brisa tells us, Tormin ala Avud, when we take the Truma Salishcha, it's for anyone who had sent their shekel and it got lost along the way, and the Bailim does not yet know about it, Viala Gavoy, or someone who sent his shekel and for whatever reason has not yet arrived, it got slowed down in the mail, Vala Asid Ligvos, and even someone who had not yet given the shekel, but is planning on doing so and has not yet gotten around to it. So apparently the Gizbarim are Torim even ala avud. So if they're Torim even ala avud, it means that the people who sent that shekel will not have to send another shekel. So therefore, it's not considered to be chayiv b'achriyusan. And even Rabbi Shimon is moda that's mamon hegdish, and therefore ein nishbayin aleihem. So this teretz does not work, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan's teretz that the Mishnah in Shkalim is just a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon does not work, because the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is only that you don't that you're going to swear on kachim. The Mishnah in Shkalim said you swear on Shkalim even that you're not chayiv b'achriyusam. So Ella Amar Rav Lazar, a third answer. Shvua zu takaros cham mishloi ben adam zalzlim bekdeshos. In a chinami, on a daraisa level, there is no shvua over here because a shomer chinam is not nishpa on hekdeshos. So we're talking about a shomer chinam here, we're talking about hekdeshos here. So there is no shvua midaraisa. This was a takanos chachamim that the shliach is going to have to take a shvua so that people in general should not be mezalzel in Hekdeshos. The Ritva points out that we see it's Dafka Lagabe Hekdeshos that they were masaking this Shavua so that people shouldn't be mezalzel b'mamon Hekdesh. But all the other three things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Avadim, Shtaros, Karkaos, even Midrabanan, there's no such din. This is a special din for Hekdeshos that a Shomer Chinam is going to swear for Hekdeshos. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Nosi Sachar Einu Meshalim, that a Shomer Sach does not pay for a Geneva or an Aveda of Avadim, Karkaos, Shtaros, Vekdeshos. Right? The four items that we were talking about in the Mishnah, Avadim, Karkaos, Shtaros, and Vekdeshos, a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay for if it gets lost or stolen. So Rami, the Rav Yosef Bar Chama, the Rabba, Rav Yosef Bar Chama asks a stira between our Mishnah and a Braisa, Tana, and it says in our Mishnah, Nosi Sachar, Eino Mishalim, that a Shomer Sachar does not pay for Geneva Vaveda of these four items, Uriminhi, but I'll ask you a stira from a Braisa. The Braisa says that a Gizbar has so who uses Mamon Hekdesh to hire a worker, Lishmar es hapara, to watch over the Para Aduma to make sure that it doesn't develop a mum, that no one puts a yoke on the Para Aduma, that you know that a male bull does not mount this Para Aduma, you know, because that all those things would postulate it from being a Para Aduma. So a Para Aduma is rare enough that you better protect it very carefully if a Para Aduma is born. So they hire someone to make sure nothing happens to this Para Aduma. or they, the Gizbar of Hegdish hires someone, Lishmar Satinok, to watch over the child who's going to be involved in drawing the water for the Mechatos that ultimately is going to be mixed with the Efer Parah, because they were Megadil Tinokos Dafka for that purpose. That's a Sugya Masechah Sukkah Daf Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that it was a machlokas between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Tzdukim, whether the Sreifas Parah Aduma could be done by a Kohen who's a Tvul Yom. That the Chum said that someone who was Tamei and went to the mikveh that day and does not yet have Harav Shemesh is allowed to do the Sreifas HaParah. And the Tzdukim said, no way. Most of the things that the Tzdukim disagreed with the Chum about the Tzdukim were more Machmir. Right? So they were more Machmir. They said, no way, Tvul Yom cannot do it. But the Chum Dafka wanted to make a point that we believe in Tarash Baal Peh and that a Tvul Yom can do it and that their drush is correct. So they were Makbid to do the Sreifas HaParah Dafka with the Kohen that's a Tvul Yom. But the Chum realized, if we do that, everyone's going to get the impression that we don't take this so seriously, that we're going to dafka use a Tvul Yom, who's kind of Tamei still, right? He's not allowed to eat Truma if he's a Tvul Yom. So he's kind of Tamei still, certainly not allowed to eat Kachem either. So and we're going to let him be sorry for the Parah. So they took all sorts of other crazy Chumras when it came to the Parah Aduma in order to balance that big Kula that they have, that they allowed Tvul Yom. So one of the crazy Chumras that they had is that the child who was sent to draw the water that they're going to use to mix with the ashes of the Parah Aduma had to be guaranteed to have never been Tamei. How do you guarantee it? There's a cliff somewhere that that has an overhang where you know for sure there are no dead bodies underneath, because even if there's a dead body underneath the cliff, the bottom of the cliff would be an ohel that would stop the Tumah from going up. They would take a pregnant woman, put her on that cliff, that's where she'd give birth to a baby, that's where she would raise the baby his entire life until he's a 5 or 6 year old child, where he's then known to be tar, known to never have any exposure to Tumah, and then we'd send him on a behema with either a wide-bodied behema or a behema with a delis on its back, and he would so that he doesn't hover over any of the ground, that there's an oval that stops any Tumah, and then he goes and he draws water from there. It's a crazy extent that we go. Someone needs to make sure that the kid doesn't run away and be metame himself. So they would hire someone for that. They'd hire professional babysitters or lishmara sazraim, or the Davyomi coincidence, to guard the zraim that they would use for the Korban Omer. Why would they need to guard the zraim that they would use for the Korban Omer? So this Korban Omer is from Sa'orim, for the Mincha Sa'omer. They would plant it 70 days before Pesach, the Gemara Menachos says, and during that time they had to guard it especially carefully. Or Rashi says another possibility is that it was talking about during the Shemitah year, that they weren't allowed to plant Sa'orim for the sake of the Mincha Sa'omer and Chitim for the sake of the Shtei Alechem, so they would look for Svichim that grew on their own in the Shemitah year, and then they have to make sure no one else came and took it, because they have to make sure that they're able to bring a Korban Omer and a Korban Shtei Alechem. But it was Shemitah, so everyone's fields were Hefker, so they had to make sure that no one took it, so they would hire workers to watch over and make sure no one took it. Tosfos raises the question, what do you mean? If it's grain that's being watched during Shemitah, it's also Bachila. You're not allowed to watch grain during Shemitah to protect it from people taking it. Everything is supposed to be Hefker. So if the Hegdish would hire someone to watch this grain during Shemitah, then it's Asr Bachila. And guess what? Any grain that's Asr Bachila, you're not allowed to use as Garban. So then it's apostles it for a Mincha. They're not allowed to use it for a Korban Omer or for the Shtei Alechem. So Tosfos says, no, the Shomer was appointed by Hegdish not to tell people that they're not allowed to take it, just to inform people. Oh, you see that grain you're allowed to take? We were kind of counting on that for the Korban Omer, for all of Klal Yisrael. We were kind of counting on that for the Shtei Alechem. And most people would say, you know what, I'll find other grain. I'll go somewhere else. So they don't prevent them from taking it. They just, let them know. They inform them of what it's meant to be used for. Tosh Rabbeinu Peret says that, no, they weren't protecting it from people. They were protecting it from chayos and behemos. And that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to protect the grain to make sure that chayos and behemos don't take it. The Rashash says that, no, Shimur and Peros does not answer during Shemitah year unless the Bala Sada is the one doing the Shmira. If it's someone who's not the Bala Sada doing the Shmira, then it wouldn't answer the grain. This is Hegdish doing the Shmira to make sure that they'll have what to take from them. Hegdish is not the Bala Sada. That wouldn't be a problem. So anyway, in the case over here is in this Brisa. that Hegdish hired a worker either to watch over the Parah Aduma, to watch over the Tinok that's going to be involved in Parah Aduma, or to watch over the Zrayim that we need to use for the Korban Omer. So, Ein Nos No Sachar Shabbos. We do not pay him for the work that he does on Shabbos. L'fichach Ein Achraya Shabbos Alav. And therefore, if something happens on Shabbos, where something goes bad, it's not his responsibility because he's not getting paid to watch it on Shabbos. But Hayeschir Shabbos, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavua. But if he's not getting paid by the day, he's getting paid by the week, by the month, by the year, by the Shemitah cycle. Then Nosan Loschir Shabbos. Then he can get paid Bahavla'a for Shabbos as well. Meaning you're not allowed to pay someone by the day and then pay them for Shabbos, but you could pay them by the week. And if they're making $100 a day, you could pay them $700 at the end. Meaning if normally you would pay them a rate of $100 a day, but you hire them for the whole week, you could pay them, and you pay them once a week, you could pay them $700 for the week. That's called Schar Shabbos Behavla'a. So that you're allowed to do. But since they're getting paid for what they're doing on Shabbos, Leficha Chachai Shabbos Alav. Therefore, whatever happens on Shabbos is their responsibility. So my lav l'shalem, doesn't that mean that the Chai Shabbos is on them, that if a Gneva or Aveda happens on Shabbos, they're going to have to pay for the Nezek that happens? So you see a Raya from here that a Shomer Sachar of Hegdish is Chayiv in Gneva Aveda, a stira to what it says in our Mishnah, that a Shomer Sachar is going to be Pater from of Hegdish is going to be Pot from Gnei Vaveda. So I answer the Gemara two answers. Number one, the Rabbi responds to Yosef Bar Chama, lo, lahav sitzcharo. It's not about whether he's going to have to pay for it. It's about whether he gets paid for the job that he was hired to do. Frak the Gemara, ihach, if that's the case, resha de katani, einach raya Shabbos alav, hachinam yalav sitzcharo. When in the resha, when it says that he's not responsible for Shabbos, that also means that he's just not going to get paid. Umi islay sachar Shabbos, o katani einos no sachar Shabbos. What do you mean? There is no payment for Shabbos. So what is Achraya Shabbos Alav? He's not getting paid in the case of the Reisha. So Ishtuk Amarle Midi Shmielach Ba. So Rabbi said, okay, I have no answer to that. So he said to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, maybe you have an answer? Meaning, how do you resolve this tira? My answer didn't work. So Amarle, so Rav Yosef Bar Chama said to Rabbi, Hachi Am Rav Sheshes. I don't have an answer, but I heard an answer from Rav Sheshes. Bishakanu Miyado, that the Shomer was Mechayev himself with a kinyan to pay Hegdish in case any Nezek happens under his watch. And in such a case, he could be meshabit himself to Hegdish, even though minadin he would normally be potter from paying Hegdish for Geneva Veda v'chinam. Rabbi Yochanan b'shkara miyado, and Rabbi Yochanan had a similar answer. Now, we had said in the Mishnah Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kachim Shchayiv Bachur Yisrael Yeshlam Ona'ah, that Kachim, that Yechayiv Bachur Yisrael have a din of Ona'ah, V'shein Chayiv Bachur Yisrael Ein Len Ona'ah. But if the Bailim is not on the hook, he's not responsible for that Kachim, it was Harei Zu, it was not Harei Olai, then there is no Ona'ah. So Tani Tani, we have a Braisa, Kameda Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, that was taught in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba about a din of a Shomer who denies a Pikadon, and then he denies that he was given a Pikadon, and then he swears falsely, and then he to his denial, and then later he admits. So he has to bring a Karban Asham. So the Braisa says that if what was given to him to watch was Kachim Shechayiv Bachur Yisrael, was Kachim where the Bailim had said Harei Alai, and therefore the Bailim is going to have to replace whatever gets lost. So he was Mafresh Behema to be Mekayim that Neder. He gave it to the Shomer to watch, and now the Shomer is denying it and swears to his denial, and then later admits. Then Chayiv. Then the Shomer has to bring a Karban Shavuah. Shani Kare Behen, because I say about that situation, Bashem v'kichesh. There's nefesh kichsechto mal amal Bashem v'kichesh. So you see that Momen Hegdish is included in the din of Shavuos HaPikadon. But v'sheinu chayiv bachur Yisrael. But if it's kachim that the Bailim is not on the hook for, and that, well, okay, got lost, the Bailim doesn't have to pay for it, Potter, then the Shomer is going to be Potter from Karban Shavuah, Shani Karim Ben, Ba'amiso V'kichesh. Because then I apply the pasuk that the Karban Shavuah is only when it's involved, when it does not involve Hegdish, when it involves Amiso, but Mamon Hegdish is excluded from the Shavuah. So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba said to the Tan, Klapi Laya, it seems backwards. Ipcha Mistavra. If I would have said that there's one case where he's going to have to take, where he's going to be Chayiv the Karban Shavuah, one case where he's not, I would have said that the opposite. It's more mistaken to be Mechayiv Karban Shavuah by Mamon Hedil than it would be by Mamon Gavala, because Hekdesh in general is excluded from all dinim of a Shvua. So I'm like, Isami, so he said, ooh, so should I stop saying this Brisa? Because this Brisa is obviously a mistaken Brisa. Something is wrong with it. Amalei, so he said, look, no, don't, you don't have to like stop saying the Brisa. Hachi Kamar, there's a way to explain the Brisa, and it means as follows. That Kachim Shchayv Bach Riusan, if you have Kachim that the Bailim is on the hook for, that he's going to have to replace if it gets lost, and he gives it as a Pikadon, and the Shomer denies the Pikadon, and he swears falsely to that denial, and then later he's Moda. So Chayiv, he's Chayiv Kamar Shvua because it's Amiso, and even if there's a Tzal of Mamon Gavoa, but he's Chayiv because the Israbu mi Ba'ashem V'kichesh, because we have Ba'ashem V'kichesh to tell me that sometimes even on Kachim you have such a Chayiv. V'sheinu Chayiv B'chrisun, but it's Kachim that you're not Chayiv B'chrisun, Pater, then the Shomer is going to be Pater from Kamar Shvua, di'imit mi Ba'amiso V'kichesh, because it's excluded from Ba'amiso V'kichesh, which makes it sound like it does not apply to Kachim. So you could still say the Brisa, but just teach it in that way, where when it's something that the guy is not going to be Chayiv Bachriyusan, then you're going to be Pater on the Karban Shavua, and when it's yes Chayiv Bachriyusan, then you're going to be Chayiv in the Karban Shavua. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yudah Marafa Mokh Sefer Torah Magalus Beime in the Mona'a. Rabbi Yudah said, if a person sells a Sefer Torah, a precious gem, or a behema, there's no Ona'a on such items. So Tanya, the Brisa elaborates. Rabbi Yudah Marafa There's no way to properly assess the value of a Sefer Torah. It could be worth anything. Sefer Torah, there's no you can't put a cap on the value of a Sefer Torah. Behema Margolis say the Mona. Why is it that a behema and a gem do not have Ona? Because very often when a person wants to buy them, they're buying it to pair up with another one. So they're willing to overpay because they already have another gem and they're trying to make a pair of earrings or something, so they want it to match another gem that they already have. Same with the behema. They need two behemas to schlep the yoke or whatever it is, or the plow, and they have one very strong behema. So if they're going to pair it up with a behema that's the wrong size, the wrong strength, whatever, it's going to mess up the behema. So they need a matching behema in order to go along with it. Mm-hmm. So the Rif writes that since the Gemara works hard within the Shita of Rabbi Yudah and explains the reason of Rabbi Yudah and brings the din of Rabbi Yudah ben which we'll soon see, which is holich b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so it must be that it's a raya that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But he writes that Rav Haigon says not that way, that he paskins that there's ona'a in everything except for avadim shtaros, karkolos, and hakdeshos, like the Tanakama, that there is no such exception for margolis and sefer Torah and behema. That's the shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar lo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'alo akol adam rotzel lezav. You could say that about anything. You could always want a pair of something, meaning there should be no non cufflinks, because there should be no non shoelaces, because you want a second shoelace that matches the first. Meaning there's always things that people want to be mezavik. Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivile v'hani lo chashivile. No, it's very hush of the things that people really care about pairing up. That's where there's not going to be ona. Vad kama, what's the does that mean there's no ona at all? I mean, there's no price that's too high when you're buying a behemoth, when you're buying a gem? So Amar Amemar ad kidei demeim. No, it means that the ona, instead of being 1/6, is double. That it's only up until double the amount of the price of the fair market value, because you're trying to pair it up. So that's what you'll pay up until more than double. You might as well just buy a new pair, right? So it's up until double. Amar Amemar. So it's actually the Tanya. We have a price. So Rabbi Yehuda b'Seira. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Seira expands this category, meaning he follows Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that a Sefer Torah, a behema, Margolis do not have regular dinim of anan, and he says, and I'll add to that, afa mocher sus v'sayef v'chatitom b'molchama in the mona'a. If you're a soldier and you need a bulletproof vest, there's no na'a on the bulletproof vest. You're willing to pay whatever it costs to get the bulletproof vest, to get the horse and the sword and the armor, because that's a person wants to live, person wants to be able to survive. So people are obviously willing to overpay for such things. The Ramach is quoted by the Shittim Kubetzas. How do we paskin with regard to Rabbi Yehuda Maseva? On the one hand, there's room to say that even those who hold that the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda Legabi the Sefer Torah, the Behemah, the Margalis, maybe they're moded to Rabbi Yehuda Maseva because there's someone that's cholik on Rabbi Yehuda Maseva. Rabbi Yehuda, someone who's cholik in the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Maseva seems to be taking Rabbi Yehuda and then expanding on it. So if you're not going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then maybe you're for sure not going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira to expand that category to other things that are not even mentioned in the by Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now we shift the focus from Ona'as Mamon to Ona'as Devarim. K'shem sha'ona b'mekach memkar, kach ona b'dvarim. Just like there's Ona'ah in mekach memkar, there's also Ona'ah when it comes to words. Chasdei David raises the question, what's the k'shem? Just say that there's a din of Ona'as Devarim. So he suggests that the dimion is that just like by Ona'as Mamon, there's no malchus because it's a lav shenitin l'tashlumin, so too Ona'as Devarim. There's no malchus because it's a lav shein b'maisa. So that's the kashem, that there's no malchus. The Bach suggests in Choshen Mishpat, some Reish Chav Ches, that since Ona'as Mamon is beferish in the Torah and Ona'as Devarim is only a drasha from the Torah, one might have thought that Ona'as Devarim is not so serious. So that's why the Mishnah wants to say kashem, that Ona'as Devarim is just as severe, and we'll see in the Gemara, more severe than Ona'as Mamon. So that's the kashem, the comparison between them. What is Ona'as Devarim? Lo yomer lo b'kama chevetzei. You shouldn't say to someone who's selling something, how much is this? V'u'ein erotze likach. When you're not even in the market to buy it, there's no chance you're going to buy it. That causes the person to get excited that he might have a sale that day, and then he's not going to have a sale. Ima yibal tshuva lo yomer lo zechor ma'asech harishonim. If someone is a bal tshuva, doesn't have to, when the Gemara says, when the Mishnah says bal tshuva, it doesn't mean like, you know, what we refer to as bal tshuva, someone who grew up in Africa. It means someone who used to do an Avera, or once did an Avera, and has done tshuva from that Avera. It could just be he had some indiscretions in high school, or in his yeshiva high school, or whatever. You're not supposed to say zechor ma'asech harishonim. Remember that that time. Sometimes these people are proud of things that they did, and then they're not really an emes bal tshuva. You're supposed to be embarrassed about your averos. Imu ben gerim, if a person is a ben gerim, lo yom lo zechor ma'aseh avosecha. Don't say, oh, remember what your forefathers did. Shemar v'ger lo sonim v'lo slach tzenim. That you're not allowed to do that to a ger. Tanu rabbanan lo sonu isha samiso onos dvarim akasim medaber. Pasuk when it says lo sonu isha samiso is talking about onos dvarim. Atomer banos dvarim u'enu el onos mamon. Are you sure? Maybe it's omer onos mamon. So kshuomer v'chisim krumim kol amisecha okonu miyan amisecha hari onos mamon amur. No, there's another pasuk to tell me about onos mamon. Hamani mekayim lo sonu isha samiso bonos dvarim. That must be about, that pasuk is therefore free to teach me onos dvarim. Hakei, said, what is Ona'as Devarim? Im hayi bal tshuva al yom lozachor ma'asecha rishonim. If you guys bal tshuva, don't remind him of his past indiscretions. Im hayi ben geirim al yom lozachor ma'asecha v'secha. If he descends from geirim, don't say, oh, you know, your forefathers were Nazis and were this and that. Im hayi geru balil matar. If he's a ger and he wants to learn Torah, al yom lo peshach al nevelos utreifos shkotzer masim balil matar shenem pi agvura. How can a mouth that's eaten, you know, nevelos and treifos masim b'chal everything else, and you're going to go and say Torah from that was given me pia gvura? In what yisurim b'ayin love, a person is suffering. In what yichaloyim b'ayin love, he's suffering from illness. Or shayim mekaber as banav or nebuch, he loses children. His children predecease him. Al yomer lo kederek shomer lo chaver li'iov. Don't tell him what, like the friends of Eov told him when he suffered Yisurim. Halo yirascha kislasecha tikvascha v'som drachecha zuchar na mihu naki avad. That you don't have enough emuna. Your yiras Hashem is not really true. It's just and you're going to start questioning God now. You shouldn't start saying things like that to him. Im hayu chamarim mevakshim tvua mimenu. If there are people who sell grain that are looking for grain, there are donkey riders that bring schlep packages from one place to the other, and they're looking for grain from the. Don't send them to someone and say, oh, that guy sells tavua, when you know that he doesn't sell tavua. You're just going to cause embarrassment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, aflo yitla einav ala mekach b'shash ein l'damim. A person shouldn't also go window shopping and start looking at a mekach as if he wants to buy it when he doesn't have any money to buy it. Sharei adavim masr l'lev. This, all these things are masr l'lev. Only the person knows if he's trying to cause tzar to the other person. Whenever something that's masr l'lev, the pasuk always says v'yareisa melukecha. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel Shmuel Nechai Gadol Nos Dvar Me'en Anas Mamon. Shazen Amar Bavi Yosef Melakacha, Zelon Amar Bavi Yosef Melakacha. Anas Dvarim is worse than Anas Mamon in that, by Anas Dvarim it says Vyaresa Melakacha, by Anas Mamon it does not say Vyaresa Melakacha. And two other ways that Anas Dvarim is worse than Anas Mamon. For Blazer Omer, the reason it's more, Anas Dvarim is more chamor than Anas Mamon is Zeb Gufo. Anas Dvarim causes tsar to the person himself, v'zeb mamono, whereas onas mamon causes tsar to his bank account, but not to the person. It's not a personal attack on the individual. Rav Shobar Nachmani Amar, a third reason that onas dvarim is more serious than onas mamon, is more severe than onas mamon, is ze nitan lihishavon. If a person cheats someone by mispricing something, you can always give back the money, you can always reimburse the money. V'ze lo nitan lihishavon. Tsar that you cause a person, that you can never make up. Rabbi Nachman points out, yeah, you can ask for mechila, you could be meratza him, it will never take away the feelings of busha that he had at that time. So that can never be undone, and that's what makes Anas Dvarim worse than Anas Mamon. Okay, from tomorrow we'll pick up with the conversation about Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim on the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day, great Shabbos, a good night. Good Shabbos, good night, take care. Bye-bye.
Good Shabbos, good night.
Good Shabbos, good night.